Blog Talk Radio.
Fighting Words on the Fighting Words News Network. Fighting Words is brought to you each and every night of the week in grateful appreciation to the men and women of the United States Armed Forces and the men and women of Police Fire Services by Dr. Kathleen Carroll, a board-certified psychiatrist in private practice since 2003. Dr. Carroll previously was the Director of Patient Services at the Bay Pines VA Hospital and the Bay Pines VA Medical Center. Dr. Carroll specializes in the treatment of children ages 6 and older and the treatment of adults, in other words, from the womb to the tomb. Dr. Carroll also is an all-time triathlete. And if you have any problems with life, please don't take it out on your neighbor. Don't take it on your family or any police or firefighter or anyone. Please seek professional help. We appreciate it. Dr. Carroll and her family want to wish everybody, all our listeners and staff, a very happy Thanksgiving. And she's looking forward to seeing everybody in the very near future. Well, guys, another terrific week. And we got a big night coming up tonight. what do you think on that one, Zeke?
Absolutely. We have Deontay Wilder versus Luis Ortiz headlining the card.
Mm-hmm.
We also have a pretty good undercard featuring Leo Santa Cruz. And he's up against a pretty good stiff competition.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you, with this weight loss, and we've talked about this ad infinitum, have you seen anything that would make you feel that Ortiz is going to be faster in the ring or stronger in the ring to be able to take on Wilder, or is this just going to be another repeat of the first fight?
Well, to start off with the beginning of your question, the weight loss with Ortiz is, it depends how he feels. If he feels comfortable, then he could function the way he wants to operate. That's all within the fighter's comfortability as far as how he wants to move in this fight. They fought each other before. They saw each other before. So he knows what tweaks he may want to do to his body as far as his adjustments. What I do have to say is this, as far as Ortiz goes, as skilled as he is, he's lost a step. Age is crept up on him and taken a little bite out of him. His reflexes aren't as fast. He's not as quick to the counter. And we saw that in his last fight against I don't want to demean a fighter, as I always say, but
right.
against someone of a lesser stature than he saw before. And not a quality fighter, but he had trouble doing what it normally looked like he was doing. And at times it looked like he just couldn't get there. This isn't the guy that you want to do that with. Deontay is he's the guy you want to be your sharpest with. And I think that maybe the weight loss will help his speed out a bit. That's what he's thinking, to where his feet could get there. He's lighter on his feet, so he could get to the inside a bit more. One thing that I always say, especially with shorter fighters, when you get inside, you need to work to try to stay in there. People move around, people don't stay glued to you, but when you get in there, you need to stay in there enough to land, in there to either land effective punches or enough to touch the guy to so the judges see. You need to be effective some sort of way. Ortiz generally is. And, he had his moments in the Wilder fight, basically the first Wilder fight. The problem is Wilder already, he touched the button. He touched Ortiz's button. He touched it twice. Ortiz is a tough guy because he got up the first time and continued to fight on and hurt Wilder. Showed me that Wilder is tough because Ortiz is, he's nothing to play with when it comes to hitting power. Ortiz can crack, and he got to Wilder's chin. And it showed me that Wilder has the dog in him. More importantly, Ty and I were at ringside, thank you, Butch, for a fight. And I think it was Don Turner. I think Ty might have asked Don Turner something about the – it was Curtis Stevens was fighting. Oh, my goodness. I forget his name. But it was a good fight. And Curtis Stevens was basically on the ropes. Tiriano Johnson. Curtis Stevens was fighting Tiriano Johnson. And Curtis Stevens was on the ropes for the majority of the fight because, Tiriano's a workhorse who likes to be inside. And Stevens, for the most part, he was picking his shots, trying to pick off shots, picking his shots and everything. But in the last round, he hurt Johnson, and they stopped the fight. Even though it was a bit of a brew, and people thought it was a little bit premature. I'm not the one to call. I'm not going to speculate anything on that. But I'm pretty sure Ty asked Don Turner. Don Turner was walking by the tables, the press tables, and Ty asked Don Turner what he thought about it. And I think Don Turner was like, well, it was a very good fight. And, he said, what do you think about the stoppage? He's like, Don Turner was like, people complain about the stoppage, but one thing you got to say is what kind of condition Stevens has to be in to pull that off in like the 12th round. And you think about it. Yes. A guy's conditioning has a very vast amount to do with his chance. If you're not in good condition, then you can't take a shot as well as you can if you are. Deontay Wilder showed that. Tyson Fury showed that against Deontay Wilder also. He got put down in the 12th round. If he didn't have conditioning, I'm pretty sure he wouldn't have been able to get up. Conditioning has to do with the oxygen to your brain. So, I mean, you get more oxygen, the better conditioning you are. It helps you take shots. So, I mean, and so when you talk about it like that, just to go back around to my point, Luis Ortiz's nuts have been cracked by Deontay Wilder.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't care how good a shot he really could take. Deontay's in good condition. He's in good enough condition to me to weather an older Ortiz's onslaught. He weathered Ortiz a few years ago. A few years ago. He weathered that onslaught. I don't see Ortiz advanced, you know, a little more advanced in age and a little more slower on reflexes and getting there, being able to do that to Wilder right now. Right now, when Wilder has fought Tyson Fury, if he's not sharper by just fighting Tyson Fury and Ortiz once, I mean, to be honest, these two guys are fundamental. Well, Tyson's talent wise in boxing IQ is great. Is pretty great to me. Even for his size, people say his size has, but you have to do something with that. And he maximizes it to the fullest to me. Not the hardest puncher, but everything else, wow. And Ortiz is a fundamental beast. And Wilder has fought both of these guys, so he's going to, I mean, I don't see him degrading against Ortiz. Ortiz has to work himself into something lucky, which means he has to kind of partially have, you know, something on his side, because there's always a chance for a lucky punch or a skillfully worked punch that normally you wouldn't get. I don't want to call it luck. So, that I mean, that's me. I'm sorry for talking a lot, but that.
That's okay. Hey, Bob, we have a have a possibility of a fight between Jorge Masvidal and Nate Diaz. What's your thoughts on that one?
A rematch?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. So, being on what we talked about last week, an article came out by one of my old coaches, Ken Shamrock, and, you know, saying that ref shouldn't have stepped in when he did, even though the cut on our Nick was real bad. Sorry, we're talking Nate now. Just talking about that for last week. And I agree with that last, you know, that last thing, because that was the BMF title. Okay, so it wasn't a regular fight. It wasn't a sanctioned thing. Those boys knew they were going to bleed. That should have been let go a little bit longer to give Nate his chance. But talking about Nick giving his chance coming up, of course, those West Coast brothers are he's going to step right in line to go against Jorge Masvidal. I don't think Nick has got as much scar tissue in his face as Nate. And they're both black belt. I don't know. I'm very curious to see that. I'm going to pay for that one. I'm kind of getting real behind the Jorge Masvidal thing right now. I don't know if they'll put BMF back up on the line for that or not, you know, given the younger brother the chance. But I'm they've got my $50 right now. Like, where do I sign up? You know?
Yeah. Well, how about Caleb Plant versus Alfredo Angulo? It's supposed to be coming up on February 15th. Excuse me.
Yeah, that'll be good too. Oh, go ahead, Z.
Oh no, go ahead, please.
No, I didn't. I didn't get a chance to look at that one today as much as I would have liked to. but that's also going to be a great fight. You know, they both got skills. So, yeah, I mean, that one, again, it doesn't have the names that are ringing true to me. I mean, more than likely, mm-hmm. I'll go to a buddy's house and watch that, you know, so he can pay the 50 bucks. But, you know, the Nick and Jorge Masvidal, you know, I'll reach into my own pocket for that one.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, there's let me ask both of you. Go ahead. See, you got something to say about the fight. Go.
Oh, well, Caleb Plant and Angulo, Angulo, to me, it's crazy because he actually fought himself into contention by beating Peter Quillin.
Yeah.
What I'm going to say is this. Angulo's still not Caleb Plant's weight. He's still not that weight. Peter Quillin was coming from middleweight. His career, he's a career middleweight guy. Angulo was a career junior middleweight.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, beating Peter Quillin, he didn't beat a true, what's Caleb Plant? Super middleweight. He didn't beat a true super middleweight. Right now, Caleb Plant is looking like the best super middleweight.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see Angulo having a shot. I see Caleb Plant stopping Angulo. I honestly see that. I do want to comment on the Nick Diaz and Jorge Masvidal fight.
Okay.
My one question to Bob, where's Nick been?
Mm-hmm.
Like I don't know. Is Nick hasn't? I mean, has he been like fighting on underground circuits or overseas or something? I mean, I haven't. Like, has Nick been training? Because I know Nick is tough. I love Nick. But Nate has been more consistent in the octagon right now. Nate has been up. So, I mean, I don't know what kind of condition Nick's going to come in. And one thing about both of the guys, both Nick and Nate, they're going to leave it all out there. Nate is a little more cautious. Nate will, he'll leave it out there. I mean, he got to get kicked in his head three times to get knocked out. I mean, once wasn't enough for him to keep doing the same thing, but that's what Nate does. That's what both of them do. Nick is bigger. Nick is bigger than Nate, period. Nick hits harder per punch than Nate. Nate is better. So really, you're talking Jorge Masvidal and Nick. Either Nick is going to knock Jorge out, he's going to be able to get there and knock Jorge out, or Jorge is going to game plan Nick. And he's going to have to punish him with the game plan. With Nate, he was able to do a little more explosion, a little bit more of what he's naturally accustomed to doing against Nate. With Nick, he's going to have to game plan. He's going to have to kick that plant leg. He's going to have to do that because Nick, even more than Nate, will step into his punches. So, Nate's going to try to put him together on you. He's going to try to be tough and then just keep putting it on you. Nate is an accumulation guy. Nick will try to get you out of there. He'll lay it on the line. Ask Paul Daly. So, Jorge just can't pick and choose and explode on Nick like that. He could game plan, and as I say, I don't know what kind of condition Nick's in, but that plant leg is there for him, and I would suggest he do that if that's the match. You know, if that's going to be.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you this: this week we had an explosive, according to the trade bags, that Floyd, gosh. Little horse here today. Floyd Mayweather wants to come back sometime in 2020. Now, I've got two questions on that, and I got for both of you guys. One, they say that Mayweather is in talks with Dana White to do something in 2020 there. The other one is Canelo Alvarez came out this morning in the trades and said, hey, if he's coming back, I want a piece of him. So, Bob, how about what do you think? with the talk with Dana White. Do you think that would be fruitful or not?
Oh, sure. I mean, it's all about the money, you know, and what he can generate. Now,
sure.
Dana wants a piece of that because, you know, Mayweather's already come over and shared some of that money in a sense when he did the Conor McGregor thing. So Dana's no fool. He wants a part of that, sure, because MMA, we talked about that last week, MMA doesn't have the money that boxing does. And if they can do any kind of crossover, they're going to jump at it at any time. Mayweather's a smart man. He's a business guy. When he did his fight against Pacquiao, like his promotion did the whole undercard. The guy's not stupid. You know what I mean? He knows how to make his money. He's a promoter / fighter at the same time. You know, so that's a smart move on his part. I mean, he's just gonna now if Canelo's talking it. Now Canelo did a great job. Okay, not taking anything away from him. He beat the bigger man in Kovalev. But again, like we talked about, he picked a certain guy to go after because he knew his style would be a matchup. So any of these boxers will do a crossover as long as the money's there. But again, they're going to have specific rules. They don't want leg kicks. They don't want takedowns. You know what I mean? They're going they're going to get again, like if I go into we were just talking about today. You know, I can't outbox a boxer. I can't out just a black belt, but I'll fight anybody. You know what I mean? Once I start to be able to mix styles, I'm going to go where I'm good and you're not. You know what I mean? I'm not going to stand there and box the boxer. I'm going to use my legs to keep him away, and if he gets close enough, I'm going to take him down. You know what I mean? Get a fish out of water. I don't want to go where he's good. So again,
sure.
You know, let it develop. I mean, I'd tune in for either one of those fights. You know what I mean? Again, Mayweather's got a certain style. I mean, you can't, you know, I don't know, you know, but you guys know boxing way more than me, but you know, he's got his own little style. I mean, they talk, you know, it used to be called the Philly Shuffle. Now it's getting called the Mayweather. You know what I mean? Like, you know, like he's got his own thing. He's got his own brand. He's going to run with it. But yeah, I mean, either way, that guy is smart. He's going to go after the money, and I'm okay with a crossover because it just helped my sport get more into the boxing notoriety. At the same time, I think Canelo would be stupid not to take a jump with that because that's big money.
See?
I agree. I essentially agree with everything Bob said to add on to it, though. Floyd. Or just to put it out there like this, Floyd's not physically going to come back. That's not going to happen as far as him physically coming back to do any serious fighting competition. And for the simple fact that it would have to be a name for a lot of money. Any name out there is not a winnable thing for Floyd at this age and at his not being in competitive in the competition for this long. So Floyd, I mean, Floyd still has a name, and right now his name can carry money. I don't know if now when you're talking about Floyd and Dana White, just as Bob said, you're talking about kind of co-promoters. So when you have co-promoters, I mean, Floyd, he's selling tickets. To be honest, Floyd, like the past few fights, Floyd has bought almost half of the arena just to sell tickets. I mean, at least a quarter.
Right.
I mean, he's bought in like a quarter of the, you know, an arena to sell seats. And that's Dana White's job. So whether, you know, Floyd's fighting or not, his main thing is to draw the money, which is his promotion.
Right.
Right now, he's dealing with that.
Right. Well, you know, earlier in the week, they also had a thing that Tyson Fury was talking with Dana White about crossover, and from what I understood from the trades and what I've understood from other people out there, Dana White wasn't too interested in it and said he didn't think he would be able to keep up. What's your thoughts on that one?
He didn't think that Mayweather would be able to keep up?
No, he didn't think that Fury, Tyson Fury, would be able to keep up with him.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, yeah, of course, you know, Dana is going to, again, it's all smack talk. I mean, if it's the boxing against Mayweather, you know, again, I got to agree with Z, you know, who knows what Mayweather's training camp is. Is Mayweather training right now? Is he, what is he doing? Mm-hmm. You know, we were just talking about, you know, Nick coming out. Well, I can guarantee
right.
Nick is one of Nate's main training partners. You know what I mean? So
mm-hmm.
Nick pretty much went through that 6-8 week training camp or 12-week training camp just with Nate. So, you know, again, he's got one. I'm guaranteeing those brothers are so tight. He just went through it with him. So, I don't know how much ring time he's got recently. You know, Z said something about underground and that kind of stuff. I mean, I don't know. I haven't heard anything about him. But I know he was right there training with him. I mean, there's no way that he wouldn't, you know. So, when, you know, talking about Mayweather, like what's Mayweather been doing, you know, meanwhile since the Conor McGregor thing? I mean, sitting back, enjoying, you know, enjoying his cash payout. You know, he's coming off the Pacquiao, and then the Conor McGregor dude sitting pretty. He's got more money than most countries. So, like, does he need to fight again?
Sure.
No, but again, he's gonna still going. He's making a legacy. He's building his brand. Now, I think Mayweather is gonna run this roller coaster for as long as he can until he wobbles once. You know what I mean? Until he gets, you know, until he quite, like, you know, if he walks away from Conor saying, you know, and then Pacquiao saying, you know, hands down, that guy hardly even hurt me. I'm good to go. You know, of course he's going to jump back in the ring. But, you know, the first time, like, age, you know, we were talking about another fighter earlier. You know, I came back out of retirement at 39 to fight at 39, 40, and 41. Bad mistake. Age gets you. You know, it just totally changes everything. Stuff that didn't used to hurt hurts. Stuff that would have never put me down. You know what I mean? The body's just not made to do that for that many years, you know. So you really gotta, you know, take consideration into where you are at physically, mentally, and emotionally. The financial thing is what drives us all, and we get that. But you really got to take a test, you know, or take a self-check on where you are, because, again, I stand firm behind that. Mayweather is going to keep jumping out into the thing, trying to make money and trying to do some cross promotions and stuff and build up his little undercard kind of stuff until he wobbles. He's not going to want to go out on a loss. The guy's got an impeccable, you know, great record, one of the best there ever was. He wants to go out on a win, on a win, on a win. So he's going to pick all his fights. And I'm not saying he's getting fished. You know, he's going up against tough dudes. But again, he's not going to go out on a loss. He's not going to make a controversial decision where this could be my last fight of my career and I may or may not lose. He's going to go out and set the stage. I'll fight anybody, but it has to be under my terms and conditions. That way he knows he can win. He can run out an MMA guy for 12 rounds, you know, and break up that normal fight routine. But I think the first time Mayweather gets wobbled by anybody, he retires and goes into promotion. You know, that's right. Keep coming.
Okay. Hey, Z, let me ask you another question, business question on this type of stuff. We got Pacquiao come out last week and said that he's looking to come back in the ring somewhere in March or April. Now, originally, he named two people that could be possibles with him. One of them was Danny Jacobs, and the other one was the other Jacobs.
Other Jacobs.
Yeah, wait a minute. No, I'm wrong there. Yeah, anyway, he said, do you think that would ever
fly? Danny Jacobs?
No, I'm sorry, Danny Garcia. My bad. Danny and Mikey Garcia were the two names that he came up with.
Okay.
Do you think that'll ever happen?
Yes, that makes sense. That makes perfect sense. Right now, though, Danny Garcia is slated to, they're looking at him trying to fight Errol Spence. I think that might be signed. If not, it's close to it. But, yeah, that's easily seeable. First of all, they're in the same camp. They're in the same camp, and Pacquiao right now is, I mean, they're not interested in clashing him with Spence yet, because you have Pacquiao, the top money guy, and Spence sort of the top guy as far as the fight, as far as the top boxing guy, the unbeatable guy. You don't want to match that up yet. You just don't, I mean, and I know we hate it in boxing that the best matchups don't happen like that. But business-wise, you wouldn't do it. And for the simple reason that you have Danny Garcia, you have Mikey Garcia in your camp. You have Sean Porters. You still have Keith Thurman. You have guys that still can match up. I mean, so, I mean, right now, they're not, I mean, considering that if Mikey Garcia is going to try to commit to welterweight, then you do have guys that can match up. It's not uncompetitive up there, and you do have some deserving guys, like a Danny Garcia to a certain extent. He fought as Sean Porters and Keith Thurman. He lost, but he did well, and he fought these guys that they're on his resume. You don't have, I mean, you have other guys who don't have him on their resume. So, I mean, right now, in the Al Heyman camp, he has the welterweights. And to be honest, everybody's screaming, you know, Bud Crawford and everything, but that's not going to happen. That's just not going to happen. They're two different companies working two separate things. So, it's a shame, but
you know, I was the other question I had. I was going with Danny Jacobs. Was that he was supposed to fight next week, but it seems like Julio Chavez, Cesar Chavez, can't get a license in Nevada now. Do you know anything about that one?
I didn't read up on it, but I have to read up on it before I comment on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, whatever he did, he's banned for another. They're going to try again in 30 days to have a rehearing, but the state commission turned him down for a license. But all right, well, here's another one for you. Billy Joe Saunders. Everybody knows he's been around. He's been done everything back and forth. Now he claims he wants to go to 175 and be able to fight Canelo Alvarez. Do you see that as a possibility?
He's been at 175. He's been at 175. Hello?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, he's been sort of, I mean, Billy Joe we're talking about has been sort of at 175
great.
Already. And I hate to say, ever since he got caught with the PEDs in the system, he hasn't been to middleweight. So I think he's at one. His last fight might have been like at 172. He weighed in at 172, 173. So, I mean, he's not even – I don't think he's making super middleweight. So, yeah, I guess Billy Joe can go to 175 and fight Canelo. With that said, I've seen Canelo fight at that weight and be successful against the sort of boogeyman. I don't think Billy Joe, it was questions if Billy Joe would have beat Canelo at middleweight when Billy Joe was looking good at middleweight. I don't think Billy Joe needs to right now. He's going to say that. Canelo right now is the money guy. He's been the money guy, and then you move up and do that. So right now, yeah, he's the money guy at your weight. Simple as that, at your weight. So, I mean, yeah, Billy Joe's going to say that. I don't think he should. I mean, for the money, yes. For the career or for the look of it, no. For the feel of it, no.
No. I'm here, no.
Sure. Bob likes that no. Yeah. The other question I had for you tonight was Yuri Gamboa is going to fight Gervonta Davis on the 28th of December. What you think? What's your thoughts on that one?
What are they doing?
Yeah.
What
yeah.
are they doing? Yuri Gamboa, he hasn't looked good, and he's on his way out. He's on his way out and hasn't looked good. He's older. His career's been inactive for the majority of it, and now his skills have degraded, and he's been fighting lesser competition, not looking very well. And you're going to put him in against Gervonta Davis.
Yeah.
Last weight I know your Gamboa was what, 130. I mean, I don't think he even went up to 135. If he did, he'd be small. I mean, he's a small guy. Period. I think he might have been at one. I don't know. I mean, either which way, that's just terrible. It's terrible. I mean, now if we would have went. Yeah, he was 130. Crawford did beat him at maybe it may have been 130, 135. Either which way, it doesn't matter. He's not going to be able to get away from Davis. Gamboa's best qualities was his explosiveness in his feet and in his hands. He has that no more, and he can't react to anything. So you're going to put him up against the monster of the division. Gamboa right now, his name is – and that's the one thing about boxing. Your name will outlast your abilities. Simple as that. I mean, you're still going to have your name, and people are still going to remember your name. It's still going to sell tickets. And a lot of times that'll get you hurt. That's as simple as that. You could be a victim of your own success a lot of ways.
Hey, Bob, UL Romero claims that Israel Adesanya backed out of a fight already. If that was to take place, number one, who do you think would be victorious?
Romero. I mean, I don't know enough about the other guy. Yeah, Romero's a beast, you know, so I don't know for sure on that one.
I agree. I agree. And the key is this. Grab Israel. Romero is the one guy who I think could kind of grab and control Israel to what he needs to do. He's long and explosive. He's long, explosive, and he's awkward. He's totally
long
awkward. He knocked Whitaker out. Israel, he's got talent, but. I mean, he's a long pole. He's a long dancing awkward pole. Romero is the guy who could throw feints, hesitations, and just kind of trick his way into grabbing Israel. And Israel is kind of ill slippery. You grab him, he's like kind of slippery. Has very good takedown defense. I just think Romero is wrestling is that. Romero's wrestling is elite. It's elite, exactly. It's elite, and he can control Israel. He's the one guy who, can, when he gets skin to skin with him, he can be able to maybe keep him on a cage, if not take him down. Because Israel, those long legs work for him. He's good at that. But Romero is, he's elite at that. And I think that he can be able to do that. I don't see Israel knocking Romero out. That's also a problem on the feet. He can win the exchanges. He has to be careful. He doesn't himself get knocked out because Whitaker was catching him. Whitaker was catching him a bit. You don't want Romero doing that. Oh, but Whitaker's better at catching you than Romero. Whitaker's better with his hands than Romero. Romero's better all around. I mean, he's one of the better all-around fighters that I remember. It's just that his conditioning. His conditioning. If Israel's able to escape and be still kind of still on his feet spry around the end of round two, round three, Romero's going to have a problem. Just because I love Romero, but his conditioning, oh my God. That's his one weakness. He's round three, he's heaving all the time. So,
if I want to submit it.
Another question. Bob, you had talked about buying a pay-per-view for a fight. There seemed to be some question as to, especially with DAZN admitting this week that they really screwed up and they lost $100 million on the Wilder fight. Is there a possibility that pay-per-view will be going by going the way of regular TV in the near future?
Oh, that I cannot answer. I'm not, that's bigger than my brain can, fathom right now. I just show up and hit people in the head. So that's a lot of people smarter than me that are making business decisions. Would I like to see it go away? Yeah, you've got these top-rated echelon fighters, both in boxing and MMA, and only people that can afford a fight can get it every time. You know what I mean? Unless, this is where I'm at in my life, unless a buddy's having it or I'm hosting it and got 10 or 15 people and we're all kicking in, I don't care. You know what I mean? These bars, you can't even go there anymore because boxing's worse than MMA, but they'll sell it by the seat. You know what I mean? So it might cost us $50. It cost a bar anywhere from $2,500 to $10,000 to host it. Like, who's making that kind of money tonight? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Apparently the boxers are. So it's not us. So the thing is, I would love, if you think about it, boxing and MMA, that's the poor guy's sport because it gives us guys coming out of the country or guys, raised up in the hood who didn't have the education, a chance to make some money playing a sport and keeping our anger management in check. You know what I mean? I'm a pro. I've graduated anger management like 6 times. So, I know that stuff, but what it comes down to is I think, it's like soccer. It's like people love soccer, man, because soccer's out there to everybody of every nationality, of every country. You're going to watch it. Then you take that to America's pastime, to baseball. You can get a baseball ticket for $9. These football guys, what'd they just pay for the Redskins or whoever, $1,000 a seat? Stop it. You know what I mean? Or more. And so if pay-per-view goes away, because then that kicks out the Don Kings, the Dana Whites, these guys that are monopolizing with their connections and not giving it to the fighters, hopefully, that would make it more like a real-life, situation to where everyone's getting their piece of the pie and everyone can watch it. When you got business, location, 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 you have to go to your people. And if you can get your fights out there and get more people getting behind you, then there's more money to make on the long run. But if you're charging so much money up front, it is what it is. I haven't heard anything about that. I would love to see it, but knowing the way America works, not going to happen. They're, just like Dana White did, oh, well, we'll share some with ESPN. We'll share some with Fox and Sports. But we're going to give you guys all of our B-rated undercard guys. And so that way they still pay to get the pay-per-view so you can get the guys with a name. You know what I mean? So if they just generalize this all and then everything was building up, I think it would even the stages. But then again, I don't know. I didn't, you know, I don't have a degree in business. I don't have a, you know, all that kind of stuff. So I leave it up to people smarter than me. I just wish they weren't so greedy.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, Z?
I love the way Bob put it. I love the way Bob put it. To be honest about it, I mean, when you think about it, it's pay per view is the only benefit to me about pay per view is that you have lesser guys, you tend to have lesser guys who get to be put out there.
Mm-hmm.
That's like, I mean, you have guys who are starving in the sport, who are putting the hungry guys, the guys who don't have their achievements yet, the guys who are trying to earn. You have those guys who have their chance to get seen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and really, I got to kind of think about those guys. But outside of that, the promoters are killing it. I mean, the fighters if the fighters are making $10 million, the promoters are making
$100 million.
I mean, it's so when it comes to that, it's the dividends are really not spread evenly. They're extremely uneven, and even in MMA. To me, especially in MMA. And the problem with that is these guys are all independent contractors.
Mm-hmm. But I got my last two I have here on here is Brandon Cook came back in the ring for the first time in a while and scored a TKO over Jose Zunga. Do you think that was a decent fight, or do you think he was just one of those overmatched fights?
I didn't catch it. I know when you're getting him back. Well, you're talking about Brandon Cook,
right?
You're not going to have the biggest competition, so I mean, you want to take it easy on him. You want to just have him come back a little easy. No fight should be easy just because a man has two fists, but there are levels to this. And you want to make sure you're not matching him up against a guy who's – you want to match him up against a guy who's worthy but not on his level.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And the last thing I have on my thing is I got an email from Russell Peltz this week. Russell was going to have a return of Jesse Hart down in Atlantic City, and he wanted to know if you guys wanted to attend. So I said I thought you would, but I would bring it up tonight. And Bob, if you can get up to Atlantic City, I could probably get you in too.
Oh, I'll make the drive. You just tell me where or when. I'll do what I can.
Okay.
And I'll certainly I'm certainly going to do it too myself. Jesse Hart is supposed to fight. When I heard it was a step up, oh, I forgot. Who was this?
Yeah.
This fight again?
I'm trying to come up with the same thing, the name right now. I'll get back to him, and then I'll get back to you guys sometime within the week and see if we can't.
Hey, can I throw a plug out, Frank?
Yeah, but Bob, have a great.
I've been recently inducted into Ranger Road, who a smaller version of Wounded Warriors. He based out of San Diego, but anyway, he works with the PFC Professional Fighters League, and we got some VIP tickets for some Wounded Warriors on New Year's Eve in Madison Square Garden. The thing is, I've only got a couple guys here down at Walter Reed that I can, or, you know, around this area. I don't know if I can say Walter Reed. But I just said it again, Walter Reed. And then, so that I can, I'm taking up there. But if there's any Wounded Warriors listening to this program, please call in, get a hold of Frank. Frank will give you my number. I'd love to take you up there. I need 100% commitment. We've got, you know, about 5 tickets left. That kind of thing.
Nice.
Thank you for your service. Thank you for what you guys do. I'm jumping at this opportunity because this has been some of the most rewarding stuff, some of the best people I've ever worked with. I just think it's a great opportunity. And then I'll get my chance to see Madison Square Garden, but then entertain some really, really cool people. You know what I mean? So just throwing that out there. If there's anybody left, I'm reaching out because I have a very select group I get to pick from. That work out with me. If there's more out there, please somehow get a hold of me.
Okay. Sounds great. Well, guys, we're right here. Gets our timeline. Bob, again, thank you very much for your input. It's always a pleasure to talk to each and every week. Hope you and your wife have a tremendous holiday.
Happy Thanksgiving to all you guys. Thank you, Z. Thanks, Frank. Thank you, all everyone, Fight Words family. God bless.
Okay, thank you. Z, as usual, you've been the talk of the program tonight. I don't know how I'd ever get all through a program without you being here to back me up. And you know, you're such a tactician that you're able to break everything down for everybody. We really appreciate it. And we wish you and Ty and all your family up there very happy holiday. I hope are all your kids coming home?
Oh, all the kids will be home.
Nice.
I know
nice.
Manny, I think my son, he might be staying in Carolina.
Uh-huh, okay.
Yeah, he'll be fine.
Yeah, please give your mother a big hug for Sharon and I. And Sharon just yelled in to make sure that I tell you guys to have a great holiday. We really appreciate everything you do for us each and every week.
Oh. Thank you. Absolutely. You guys, too.
Yeah. Z, you want to lead us out?
Sure do. Another wonderful show. I want to thank Bob. I want to thank you, Butch, all of my Fighting Words family. These shows are definitely in memory of Bob and Coach Mel. Everyone, have happy holidays. Butch?
Yeah, Z, again, for you and the family, everybody, and especially the Reverend, tell her we send our love to her. We want to thank everybody in your family for being there and being so willing to share with us. ladies and gentlemen, these programs are brought to you each and every night of the week in grateful appreciation to the men and women in the United States Armed Forces and the men and women Police and Fire Services. When you're out there and you see somebody in uniform, please let them know that you know they're there. It's very, very tough times, both domestically and in foreign lands, for people in uniform. These programs are dedicated to those who lost their lives in the line of duty. Deputy Robert Anthony Carroll, Patrolman David Curtis, Patrolman Jeffrey Kokap, Sergeant Thomas Batinger, Patrolman Jeffrey Yazowitz, Detective Randy Bell, Detective Ricky Childers, San Diego Officer Mike Kendler, Lieutenant Mike Zerba, Newcastle County Police, Patrolman and Officer Crispin, Lakeland PD, Chief Al Hogle, Longbow Key Police Department, Chief Jimmy Ford, Wilmington Fire Department, Highway Patrolman Alonzo Moses, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Highway Patrolman Brian Lazaro, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Highway Patrolman Brian Murphy, Plymouth Township PA Highway Patrol, Lieutenant Bob Neary, Philadelphia Fire Department, Sergeant Mike Wilson, Charlotte County Sheriff's Department, Deputy Chief Mike Godwin, Philadelphia Fire Department, Deputy Jonathan Scott Pine, Orange County Sheriff's Department, Patrolman Robert Jermaine, Windermere, Florida Police Department. Patrolman Chelsea Richards, Florida Highway Patrol. Lieutenant Joyce Craig Lewis, Philadelphia Fire Department. Patrolman Charlie Condit, Tarpon Springs Police Department. Hillsborough County Deputy Sheriff Charlie Kotloff. Delaware State Troopers Sergeant Rodney Bond. Captain Chris Leach, Wilmington Fire Department. Lieutenant Jerry Ficus, Wilmington Fire Department. Lieutenant Ardeth Hope, Wilmington Fire Department. Special Inspector FDLE Vinny Galaccio, Delaware State Trooper Corporal Stephen Bauer, Kissimmee Patrol Officer Matt Baxter, Kissimmee Sergeant Sam Howard, K-9 Captain Matt Letourneau, Philadelphia Fire Department, Deputy Bill Gentry, Highlands County Sheriff's Department, Deputy Clay Zerber, Clay County Sheriff's Department, Deputy Natalie Corona, L.A. County Sheriff's Department, Deputy April Rodriguez, Pasco County Sheriff's Department, and Officer Bob McKetchin, Biloxi, Kentucky Police Department. My brothers and sisters, although you may be 10-7 at this point in time, at some time we'll be 10-10 at the table of the Lord. Until that time, may the roads rise up to meet you. May the winds be always at your back. May the rains fall softly on your fields and the sun shine lightly on your face. Until we meet again, may the good Lord keep you and your families always in the hallow of his hands. Good night. God bless and have a great weekend. And good holiday.
Thank you.
night, Bob. Love you, and we miss you.